All right. Well, it's good to see everyone this morning. If you could turn me down just a little bit there, maybe turn me down just a little bit. But good to see everyone this morning. And I hope and trust you've had a good week and a good morning and look forward to this week that lies ahead. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we'll just go ahead and open up our Bibles this morning. We're going to be in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 11. Isaiah, chapter number 11 this morning. And we'll look at a subject here. This morning, we'll kind of dive off into that in just a moment. Some important facts that you'll find here. The lesson this morning will be on future events that haven't transpired yet. And as a believer, sometimes it's good to kind of refresh ourselves a little bit of what we have to look forward to in life and what things will be like someday, and maybe not what they're like today as we live. But we'll look into this. So we're going to be in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 11. There's only, 16 verses in the chapter. Our lesson is only on this chapter this morning, and relatively kind of a short lesson. But we'll get off into it and see what we can find this morning. Do pray for, if you would, my wife. She's actually in Memphis today with her sister, who was in a very, very bad car accident this past week. Hit head-on collision with another car. And if you would remember her in prayer, her sister's name is Robbie, and her last name is Lofton. Robbie Lofton is her name. And if you would please pray for her. They didn't know if she would make it at first, but she has made it almost a week now, has had many surgeries. She had both ankles broken, both kneecaps broken, both legs broken, both arms broken. One wrist broken, one hand broken, and then they found just the other day she had some broken vertebra in her neck, and she had surgery on her neck yesterday. She has another surgery tomorrow, but they are not going to operate today, try to give her the day off today from that. So no head trauma, which is a good thing. She had internal bleeding. They had to remove part of her large intestine and part of her small intestine and also repair her stomach. So how a body can go through all that and still survive, I don't know. But we do praise the Lord that He has allowed her to live. She needs the Lord. She is claims to be saved. I actually led her husband to Christ many years ago. And in doing that, witnessed to her as well, and she gave a testimony of salvation, but has not been living for the Lord. So it's all in the Lord's hands, and hopefully and prayerfully something good can come of this, and maybe this will be something that will turn her life around for good. And so if you would, I know my wife would appreciate that. She'll be traveling back tonight, and my boys are with her as well. But if you'll just pray for them, that God will give them safety today as well. I know many others. Any other special prayer requests? Well, I don't normally ask for prayer requests, but I hate to offer one and not ask for your prayer request. Anybody else have something? Anybody? I know Brother Richardson will have prayer requests later, but if you want to share something maybe here this morning, anything? Anybody? Okay, then we'll open up with a word of prayer, and we'll jump right into our lesson this morning. And see what the Lord has in store for us today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do love You. Thank You, Lord, first of all, for life. And Lord, thank You for the life that You've given unto us today. And Lord, help us to realize and understand that life can be very short. Life changes in a matter of a second. And God, I pray that You'll help us to do our part in living for You and being a good witness and a good testimony for You in this life that we live. We do pray, Lord, for the day today. We pray for this hour that You bless as we take the next few moments and we study from Your word. We pray that You would bless in a special way. And then, Lord, we pray for the message this morning and the message this evening. We pray for Your blessing, for Your power, for Your wisdom upon all that's said and done today. And God, help us to listen. Help us to open up our hearts and help us, Lord, to open up our minds to what You have for us today, that we may retain what You have. May we take what we learn. May we apply it to our life. And Lord, help us to live more for You this week. And may we learn today that we'll learn something that would help us to better serve You this week. And I pray that You help us in that service. We do pray, Lord, for no doubt many people who have given prayer requests this past week. And I'm sure there'll be many that will be given this morning. We do pray, Lord, that You would take and bless in each prayer request and that Your will would be done. Lord, we pray for our country this morning. We pray for the leadership of our nation, that You would, Lord, appoint wisdom unto them. We pray that You would give them understanding. We pray, Lord, for our country spiritually, And God, it's no secret we are in such a dire need of revival in our land, and we pray, Lord, that you would help send a spiritual revival to us, to our church, to our community, and to our state, and to this nation that we live in. God, may we turn back to you once again. Lord, we do pray for those that are lost this morning that need to be saved. We pray that, Lord, first of all, that you would help us to do our part to be a witness unto them, to be a testimony unto them, that they would see their need of salvation, Lord, before it's eternally too late. God, also, we want to mention our missionaries this morning and how important they are, Lord, not only to the ministry here of our church, but, Lord, how important they are to regions around the world as they stand and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that you would empower them, that you would bless them, that you would give them fruit for their labors. And, Lord, we pray that you would help in supplying their needs this morning. We pray for those that are sick this morning. We pray for those that are not able to be with us, that you would help heal them, comfort them this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 11 is for our lesson this morning. If you were to go home this morning and turn on the television and watch the news, you're going to find much in the news from the past few days about the airstrikes on Syria and the devastation that has taken place in that country is just so unreal. There's a lot taking place around the world. But there's a lot of in the news about war and peace and how that nations strive to maybe have a peaceful world. And I would hope and pray that most of the time our nation will engage in airstrikes as such as the other day to try to help maybe bring about peace in this world. And in many cases, our world strives for peace, but yet it's hard to find very much peace remaining in our world today. Trying to provide the world with peace is something that we have been striving for decades in our nation. We've never accomplished that, and we never will accomplish that. According to Scripture, we know that there's only going to be one that will bring world peace, and that's going to be our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, in Isaiah chapter 11, you're going to find some descriptions talking about that future event. When there will be world peace, when Jesus does bring about world peace on this world. And it's interesting, in this chapter you can find elements of why there will be world peace. There's some interesting facts that you can find in this chapter as well, and we'll kind of get off into that here in just a little bit. But we talk about world peace, but, you know, when you really think about it, you watch the news, even our own nation this morning doesn't have peace. I mean, you turn on the news this morning and there's protest about this and there's protest about that. Nobody's happy. Everybody's been mistreated. Everybody's been treated unfairly. And even in our own nation, there's a lot of unrest. It will be difficult to say this morning that we live in a peaceful nation, because often you'll find violence that transpires in our nation, and there's a lot of trouble that's taking place, and we have multiple problems even in our own country this morning. And the only answer is, the answer's always been the same. The answer is Jesus this morning. He's always been the answer. He always will be the answer this morning. But in the book of Isaiah, As for the past several weeks, you'll find that much of the book of Isaiah is about the judgment of God. But in this chapter, it is basically about future events where there will be peace on this earth for a period of time. And this chapter is going to describe that element of time when there will be peace on this earth. And we'll kind of look at a few things here real quickly this morning. But we'll find that there is a time coming when there will be peace on earth, and Jesus will be the king, if you would, who ushers in the 1,000-year reign and rule of peace and righteousness here on this earth. Now, as you read through this book, you'll find sometimes it's hard to kind of comprehend how there could be total peace and righteousness upon planet earth, because we are a far cry from that today. We do not live in a peaceful world. We do not live in a righteous world this morning. We live in a very sinful, degraded world, a very wicked world, a very unruly world today. As we watch the news and as we view things around the world, it's very obvious that it's very evident in our day and age And it's sometimes it's kind of hard to comprehend. But, boy, it's good sometimes just to read a little bit and realize of what's actually going to happen. Now, the reason I know it's going to happen is because God's Word tells me so. But, boy, we live in a world where many people deny the Word of God. I'm amazed at young people who actually defy the Word of God. Adults defying the Word of God. And we're going to look at that, and we'll talk a little bit about that this morning as well. But I want to begin here in chapter number 11, book of Isaiah. I'm going to read just a few of the first three verses. And in the first two, three verses, you're going to find a description of what this king will be like that will reign and rule. Peace and righteousness will be plenteous and surrounding the globe. And you'll find here some indicators of this time, if you would, in the leadership here. Look at verse number 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Verse 2 will give a multiple. In fact, I believe there's about six different descriptions, even in verse number 2, describing our Messiah, our Jesus Christ, our King, who will rule and reign during this time. Verse number 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. I mean, you take just verse number 2 describing the new leadership, which will be Jesus Christ, the Son of God, leading and ruling during that time, describing what it will be like under this leadership. Now, verse 2, I think is very key because it describes how he will rule, the description of the Messiah, if you would. And there's so many elements here that we could discuss and talk about. In fact, I was almost in my lesson just going to stay with verse number 2 and describing all these elements here and taking each one and kind of breaking it down. But I'm going to go past that this morning. But we find here in verse number 2, we find specific things that characterize the Messiah. You'll find words such as wisdom, understanding, spirit of counsel, spirit of might, which means power, spirit of knowledge, spirit of fear, talking about respect that will be given unto him. And this is how he's going to rule. This is how he's going to be, how he's going to reign. He's going to be fair. He's going to have wisdom. He's going to have understanding. He's going to be the greatest of counselors. He's going to be mighty and powerful. He's going to be all-knowing, all-knowledge. And the spirit of fear. See, he's going to reign in truth and righteousness. Now, it's easy for a preacher to make comments such as truth. We'll make statements that we have the truth of the Word of God, talking about our Bibles this morning, and we all have a copy of truth this morning. You see, there's so many things in this world that are not true, but this is one thing you can bank on. The Word of God is truth this morning. Now, the problem with our day in society is not too many people want the truth anymore. This past week, I had the opportunity, I've kind of witnessed to a gentleman that I know that actually works for me a little bit sometimes and does some different things, and he's in a totally different denomination that is, if he dies believing what they teach, he's going to die and go to hell. Good man. A very clean-cut guy, a very admirable kind of a fella and so forth, hard worker, honest. I was discussing a little bit of, we talk quite often. He's always inquisitive about what we believe. And I say, well, you know, you don't take it for what I believe. You take it for what the Word of God says. And sometimes that kind of comes into play a little bit. But anyway, I was discussing this past week, and we were talking a little bit about church. I'm not even going to mention the denomination that he's in, but their denomination is struggling. He said he's been going to this particular church for a long period of time, and he says it seems like every year it just gets harder and harder and harder to reach people. And we were in agreement about a lot. He said, I think the number one problem of today is nobody wants truth anymore. I said, I agree. In fact, as we went along, he was a little surprised at how many things we do agree on. He said, nobody wants to grow anymore. Nobody wants to read for themselves. Nobody wants to study. Nobody wants to know what this book says. You know, I am totally amazed at how many people go to church week after week and they hardly know anything about this book right here. I witnessed to a particular lady who'd been going to a Southern Baptist church for 25 years. And I don't know if she knew what John 3:16 actually meant. How is it that we have so many problems in our day and age? Let me tell you, the reason we have so many problems in society today is because we have gotten away from the truth of the Word of God. Not many people want the truth of the Word of God anymore. Not many people want to go to church anymore to find out what does God say. You know, you would think after a while, you know, I get tired of what man said. Do you ever get tired of watching news and all the commentaries and what this person believes and what this politician says and what this one believes? You know, you get tired of all that. You know, I just want to know, what does God say? Because God's the answer this morning. This nation this morning is in such a dire need of revival this morning. And what it needs is just a good dose of God this morning. You know what I need this morning more than anything? I need God this morning. More than I need anything else in this life, more than I need a good paycheck, a good job, a good home, good health, more than all that, I need God this morning. And I'm afraid that many churches have drifted away from the very basic concepts of just the truth of the Word of God. How's Jesus Christ going to turn this thing around? He's going to do it by wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and knowledge and fear and truth and righteousness. That's how he's going to do it. People today, they go to church. They don't want to go to church to learn. They want to go to church and they want it to be quick. They want to be out by noon. They want to be in and out as fast as possible. And they want to go home feeling good about themselves. This may shock you a little bit, but sometimes we don't need to feel good about ourselves. We need truth. We need to know. You know what we need? We need Bible. Isn't it so basic this morning of what this nation needs? But hey, there are so many churches today that it's not about truth anymore. It's not about the Bible anymore. It's not about Jesus anymore. It's all about entertainment and feeling good and walking out feeling like that you've done paid God, that you've actually gone and paid God respects for the day. You know, God's not asking you to come this morning to pay him some respects this morning. Truth. Truth and righteousness. Let me tell you what this world needs, just truth and righteousness. You say, but our world doesn't want righteousness. In fact, they want evil. They don't want what's right. They want what's wrong in life. And you may be true. That is true this morning, that we live in a very backwards, upside-down world. But sometimes, you know, I do believe this. I believe that people are hungry to know what is truth. No, maybe not everybody, but I do believe there is a group of people, there is a portion of society that wants to know what truth is. But sometimes, I know this is hard to believe, but sometimes it's hard for people to find the truth because people don't give them the truth anymore. Let's be honest. Most churches today are not going to get up and preach, thus saith the Lord, anymore. They're going to come up with some feel-good sermon. And I don't even like to call it sermons anymore. They're going to come up with some, you know, they'll come up with some good illustrations and maybe a joke here and there, and they'll have an outline put together, and I need to move, put this in here to some emotional topic that I can put into this discussion with people and so forth, and people leave and say, boy, it was good today, and they learn nothing. They know nothing. You know, when you live in society and there's no truth and there's no preaching of the Word of God there's no studying of the Word of God and there's no knowledge of the Word of God, and when society gets to the point where there's no knowledge of the truth of the Word of God, that's why you have the mess that you have in society today. I mean, I watched just a little bit of news this morning to see what was kind of in the news, and one of the segments this morning was the alarming rate of people addicted to pain medications. I mean, it is amazing. It is a billions dollar business. It's easy. People get prescriptions and so forth, and it was stated this morning that the government is going to have to rein back a little bit on what doctors can prescribe pain medications for. We know of somebody, Patty and I know of someone right now that goes to a particular doctor, pays cash, and gets all the pain medication they want. Pain medications. What do? They use part of them, and they sell the others. And if you pay with check or credit card, you can't do that, but when you pay cash, they can kind of do a little bit more. I mean, it's an epidemic. It's destroying families. It's destroying marriages. It's destroying children. And that's just one small problem that we have in our land. But why is it? Why is it such a rush for people to want to go and become addicted to a pill? Now, some people maybe get addicted because maybe they had a back injury and they were taking that medication and it became addictive to them. And I understand maybe there'd be some struggles there, but I'm talking about people that willingly know that if you go and take this pain medication on a regular basis, you're going to become addicted to it. Explain to me this morning. How in the world could a person take meth this morning, knowing what it's going to do to your body? I mean, if you just read off the ingredients of what's in meth, there's no way I'm going to put that in my body. People do it every single day. It's a cheap high. Why are they doing that? Knowing what it's going to do. I think it all comes back to a void of knowledge. It's the truth of the Word of God that will set mankind free. And it's the only thing that's going to set you free. We have more opportunities today probably to spread the Word of God than ever in the history of mankind. I mean, we have computers, we have internet, we have email, we have text, we have phones, we have just copies. I mean, you can go to the bookstore, down to the dollar store and buy a whole Bible for a dollar. But yet, there is less and less and less of the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. I mentioned several weeks back, there's more people out of church this morning than in church this morning. If you don't believe me, just drive around town right now. Many of you maybe could even testify more than me. I can remember a day when most people went to church on Sunday. I mean, when I grew up, I don't know if I just lived in a very unique place or what, but every one of my friends, we all went to church. My whole neighborhood that I lived in, everybody in my whole neighborhood, I can still go around the whole block and tell you where everybody went to church. And you got up on Sunday morning, and it was just like a ghost town from 10 to 12. But you go by the church houses, and parking lots were full. Now, you know as well as I do, it's not that way anymore. Now, you can blame it on Walmart, you can blame it on the gas stations, you can blame it on greed, corporate greed, wanting to open up for business. But you know what? I don't blame anybody else but the individual. You can blame Walmart, you can blame the gas station, you can blame Ideal Market, you can blame the mall, you can blame the stores and so forth, but let me tell you something. If everybody quit going to them, they'll close down on Sundays. Truth. Void of truth. You'll find here in the book of Isaiah, and I've only mentioned just a few here, and I got to kind of hurry and speed things up here a little bit now, but you'll find that it describes specific characteristics of the Messiah. You'll find wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, fear. And that's how he's going to rule. So, well, it'll never work. You'll be amazed how it's going to work. You'll find out beginning in verse number 4, how he will rule, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor. That's interesting here. He puts a little phrase in there, judging of the poor. He's basically describing how the Messiah will be fair with everyone. Now, the poor of our day and age are not treated as equal as others. Are you with me this morning? Money has a lot of influence in society. Wealth impresses a lot of people. But you know what? With God, money never has impressed God. Wealth doesn't mean anything to God. You see, God sees everybody equal. And you'll find as he describes a little bit how he will reign and how he will rule, it doesn't matter what class of people you are, where you're at financially in society, you will be treated equally when Jesus Christ reigns. He will rule in righteousness, it mentions here in verse number 4. Praise God for a ruler who rules in righteousness. It's going to be first applied, the Bible basically mentions in verse number 4, the poor are generally powerless. And back in the day of Isaiah, the government was very, very corrupt. Now, how many people, and this is not a trick question, how many people believe that our government is above board and honest? Raise your hand. All right. How many believe that there's probably a little bit of shady dealings when it comes to the government? Anybody like that? All right. So most people believe, some of you didn't raise your hand because you were afraid that. There's always corruption when mankind is in control. And in Isaiah's time, there was a lot of corruption when it came to the government circles, but when Jesus Christ reigns, you're going to find that all the corruption will be gone because he will reign in righteousness. Wouldn't you love to live in a day where righteousness ruled? We live in a day and age where righteousness nowadays is laughed upon, is mocked, is made fun of. You'll find that usually the poor are generally treated differently, and they're going to find that Jesus Christ is going to treat them differently. They're actually going to have a fair shake in life, and he will treat the poor with righteousness. He will treat the wealth with righteousness. Everybody will be treated equally with righteousness, according to verse number 4. He says, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. I mean, he's just going to speak and business takes place. See, well, how can that be? Well, I mean, God formed this whole world with speaking it into existence. You'll find, beginning down in verse number 6, you're going to have what I look at and say is the results of when Jesus Christ reigns, when the Messiah reigns, when he is king and there's peace on this earth and righteousness on this earth, and when he rules with wisdom and understanding and counsel and might and spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And when that takes place, you'll find that it describes in verse number 4 and 5 how he will rule. And then beginning in verse number 6, you'll find the results of when all this takes place. You'll find actually beginning in verse number 6, a lot of the verses will be a little bit more well known to you as you read here. Look at verse number 6. And the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. It'll be a little bit different during that time. When the wolf lies down with the lamb, that's different. That's not what transpires today. I mean, society's going to change during that time. Nature will even change during that time. Politics is going to change during that time. You'll find in verse number 6, the wolf will lie down with the lamb. In verse number 6, you'll also find that the leopard will lie down next to a young goat. You'll find in verse number 6, the lion will lie down with the fatted calf. The normal order of animal behavior is even going to change during that time. Everything's going to change. You see, this morning, as far back as Isaiah, reminding the people, hey, there are some tough days that lie ahead. The judgment of God will come. But he also reminds them there's also going to be a great day that lies ahead. Can I remind all of us this morning who's a child of God that, you know, our future's very bright this morning. Now, you may watch the news, and I may describe a lot of very negative things that are transpiring in our society in our day and age that we live in, but listen, there is a very bright future for the child of God. I mean, what's the worst thing that could happen to us? We could die and go to heaven? Now, I don't know of anybody in here this morning that's racing that wants to die today, but I'm glad to know that when my day comes, I've got a better day that lies ahead. And boy, I'm glad to know, and sometimes it gets depressing in life, it gets discouraging in life, it gets difficult in life. We get strapped with all the problems and the trials and testings of this life that we live in. But dear friend, there is a day coming when all that's going to be gone. It's going to be a wonderful time. Kind of hard to describe what life will be like. Sometimes I think it's even hard for our minds and our brains to comprehend what God has in store for us. Truth and righteousness is what he is going to use as he changes this world that we actually live on today. Truth and righteousness. I mean, it's kind of depressing sometimes, and I get a little bit discouraged, I guess, when I look at society today. And we were out of town the other weekend, and I was able to go to a church, and it was a good church, and we enjoyed our time and so forth there, and talking with a couple of the members there and so forth, and a very nice congregation, and discussing a little bit about their church and what they had going on for them and so forth. And they've had a lot of struggles in the past. Why is it people just, is it people don't want to hear anymore? Is it that we're not doing our part of portraying truth like it ought to be to society? I don't know. But it's kind of sad sometimes. And I was talking to a particular member a little bit, and I don't know, I could tell maybe a little, he was a little sad and a little bit about people that have come, people have gone. They just got to where they just didn't want it anymore. And I'm afraid so many times that's where churches make mistakes. They get, a little paranoid, get a little nervous, start questioning maybe what they're doing and how they're doing things, and they start listening to a lot of worldly ideas about how we need to change this. First thing they're going to change is going to be their music. Got to go to a more contemporary, worldly style of music to try to draw people. Isn't it amazing how churches today are doing everything they can possibly think of to reach people and forgetting the only thing that matters, and that being the truth of the Word of God? They'll bring in concerts, music, bands, change the lighting, change the whole appearance of a building, get rid of the pulpit, change the way the messenger delivers whatever message he's going to deliver. They'll have circuses and rodeos and giveaways and all kinds of things. And, you know, I can understand what people, you know, people are maybe trying to reach society, but that's not the way you reach society. And they've thrown away the only thing that matters, and that's the truth of the Word of God. That's what's going to change this world that we live in, is truth and righteousness that the King will bring with him. And he'll rule and he'll reign on this earth, and there'll be peace on this earth, and it'll be totally different. Society will be different. Politics will be different. Nature itself will be different. But it all begins with truth and righteousness. You know, this morning, preachers will disagree with me this morning on this, but I've got news for most pastors. It doesn't matter what your attendance is today. It doesn't matter if you ran 5,000 or five. Because you can run 5,000, but if you don't give them truth, then you haven't accomplished anything that day. Truth. Preach the truth of the Word of God. And sometimes it's easy to become a little bit guilty sometimes and say, yeah, that's a preacher's job to preach truth. I've got news for you. It's all of our jobs. It's your job. Well, I'm not a preacher. No, but you're a messenger. What's that person need at work that you work with? Truth. What's your neighbor need in time of need? Truth. Boy, how things are going to change. It's pretty amazing, too, how that even down in, you'll find even down in verse number 8 of chapter number 11, you'll find that even a child shall play with a, I mean, it's amazing here in verse number 8, you'll find little children be able to play and mingle with wild animals with no fear and no harm going to come to them. In verse number 9, the knowledge of the Lord will come to this earth. It's amazing. In verse number 9, in the middle of the verse, it says, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Can you imagine that? We live in a society where very few have a knowledge of the Lord. You know, when you witness to somebody, you know, and they say, well, I go down to so-and-so's church. You know, that doesn't mean anything to me. I don't care if you say, I go to Grace Baptist Church. I'm glad you go. But Grace Baptist Church isn't going to take you to heaven. Well, I go to First Baptist Church, or I go to Missionary Baptist Church, or I go to whatever church you can think of in our society and in our town and our surrounding areas and in our county. Where a person goes to church does not mean anything. Now, sometimes it gives you an indication, maybe a little bit of what they believe, but I found people going to Baptist churches that don't believe anything. It's amazing. Sometimes I did this not too long ago. I asked somebody, I said, well, do you go to church anywhere? And they said, yes, I go to so-and-so church. Been a member there for 25 years. I said, well, who's the pastor? And they did not know. If you've been going there for 25 years, you must have missed a Sunday or two. If you don't know who the preacher is of the church. Now, here's what I'm saying. Don't take it for granted, because church membership is so, it can be so, I don't want to say damning sometimes, but there's a lot of people that base their eternity on where they're going to church this morning. It's the truth that shall set you free. Truth this morning. I'm going to sum it up real quickly. I want to just point out a couple other things in verse number 11 and verse number 16. Look at verse number 11. It shall come to pass in that day the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the large group of his people. Is that what it says? The remnant. Isn't it amazing how that God doesn't have to have big numbers? You see, most churches today, that's what they're all worried about the number. Worried about the number in Sunday school, the number in the worship service. They're worried about the number of the amount of money that came in the tithe, and we're all worried about that number, and God never has been worried about numbers. That remnant of people. We mentioned it back several weeks ago, a little bit about the remnant of people. Verse number 16 says, and there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people. You see, this morning, we don't need a large army to accomplish God's will. We don't have to have 500 in Sunday school to be on the map of God's map. We don't have to have 3,000 in attendance to be special in the eyes of God. All it takes is a remnant. If you study that word, remnant's not a large group. It's a small group. Isn't it amazing what God can do with just a remnant of people that are willing to do his will? chapter 11 is describing future events that have not transpired. They will transpire someday. When's it going to come to pass? I don't know. Well, when's the Lord going to return? I don't know, and there's not a man alive that knows that. It could be today. It could be next week. It may be a month, maybe 6 months, maybe a year. We don't know. All I know is that he has not come yet. And I'm still breathing air and I'm still alive. And I believe that God still has a will and a purpose for my life. And I think that purpose is to tell the world the truth. Not my truth, not what I believe, not what I think, but what does God say? And that's how he's going to reign. That's how he's going to change things. How's he going to change it? With truth and righteousness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We do pray that, Lord, that you would help us as your people this morning to serve you. It's a dark day that we live in. It's a difficult day, and it's a very needy time. And God, so many times it's easy just to kind of maybe pass people by and maybe never share a word of truth to them, or maybe fail to give them a gospel track, or maybe even witness to them as we should. And God, I pray that you'll forgive us of that. And God, I pray that this week you'll help us to be bold. Help us to be, Lord, ones that are used by you to spread the truth of the word of God to a lost and dying world. And Lord, help us to be that testimony, that witness that we have to be, that we must be, if we're ever going to see a change in this world that we live in. God, we are in such a need of revival in our land. It just seems like wickedness has taken over, that the vile and the ungodly rule. And God, that's because God's people haven't done their part, and I pray that you help us to do our part. Help us to make a difference. Help us to make a change in this world that we live in. God, we do pray for the message this morning, that you would speak to our hearts, do a work in our midst this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.